in complete dependence upon our Lord to open and apply his holy, sacred word to us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter which we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and the last few words of verse 27. Matthew chapter 14, the last few words of verse 27. It is I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid. Dear friends, there are many causes and many reasons for people upon this earth to be afraid. Whether one believes in God or not, whether one believes in Jesus or not, it is a common thing that through the course of this earthly life, one experiences many fears. I suppose we'd say one of the great fears which affects all is the fear of death. It affects a behaviour, it affects a thoughts, words and deeds. And dear friends, we are probably not exempt, knowing that we are sinners. But in these holy word of God, in these precious gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that the disciples, the chosen disciples, those who were called to be near unto Jesus, they had times of their fears. We can think of the time when Jesus said to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And there came that great storm, and the boat was filled with water, and they feared they would die. Jesus was there, but it was as if he was not, because he was asleep. Those three that went with Jesus up the Mount of Transfiguration, dear friends, they came into a time of fear when a cloud covered them. They entered into a cloud and they feared. That separated them, didn't it, from the presence and the sight of Jesus. We can think of the disciples in the upper room for fear of the Jews. Jesus was no longer present with them. And we have an example here where the disciples feared when they were on their own. Dear friends, with the people of God, fear comes, doesn't it, when we're not conscious, we're not aware, we don't perceive the Lord's presence with us, as if we've been left alone in a particular circumstance, particular one of difficulties and troubles and dangers. It gives rise to great fear within us, should we be left alone to handle matters just by our own selves. The account here of these disciples was that they just witnessed this great miracle of the feeding of 5,000 with those 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. In one sense, you could say the disciples feared. They feared that the multitude would be left hungry. They said to Jesus, send them away so they can obtain food, victuals for themselves. Dear friends, that fear was no more than a good, loving concern, was it? The Lord was there. They committed their concern to the Lord. And they witnessed the Lord's a miracle as the Son of God to make such a small amount sufficient for so great a many. And at the end, when they had collected those 12 baskets of fragments, more than that was but begun, we would say, Jesus then sends them away. He commands them to get into the boat, which they come from the other side, and to go before him back to the other side of the sea. Jesus was to send the multitude away, and then he went up into a mountain to pray. Dear friends, these disciples, they obeyed his voice, they conformed to his will. Oh, but what questions there must have arisen in their natural hearts and minds. Why is he not coming with us? How is he going to get to the other side? Is he going to return around the coastline as the people came to meet with Jesus before they were fed? Surely there were many questions, but they obeyed his voice and they did as he commanded. And they were in the way the Lord would have them to go. And it wasn't an easy way, was it? As they went, probably to begin with, set sail. In fact, they could make no headway, for the wind was contrary. So they turned to rowing. We read they toiled in rowing, for the waves were also against them. And it became dark. And dear friends, there'd be no light for them, as there is for us, with our lanterns and lights and torches and whatever. And they continued for a long time, to the fourth watch of the night. Dear friends, the fourth watch of the night was the last watch, before the dawning. And as an expression, isn't it? It's always darkest before the dawn. Difference how these disciples must have longed for the presence of the Lord with them. How much they have desired for his appearing. And they were toiling against all that was against them. And Jesus was not there to help. Dear friends, the beautiful truth is the Lord's eye was still upon them. We read in one gospel Jesus saw them toiling in ruin. And in his time and his will, he went unto them. He would not let them be tempted above what they were able. But oh, the mysterious appearing of Jesus. It was beyond that which was natural. It was beyond that which they would even could expect, as they would desire the Lord to appear with them. Dear friends, if it was pitch dark at the fourth watch of the night, and they saw Jesus walking on the water, there was some aspect of light. How strange that light must have been. And so strange was that light and that appearing. Oh, they feared it was Satan, an evil spirit, a ghost, is what that word spirit we read means. And that brought them into greater fear than the difficulties of the journey they were making. They cried out for fear. And dear friends, that fear continued until they heard his voice. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, dear friends, how could they believe that this was Jesus? Peter, as they asked from the spokesman, Lord, if it be thou, if it be thou. They couldn't naturally believe. It was beyond their comprehension at such a sight, at such a happening. If it be thou, then bid me come to thee on the water. Help me to do that which I see thee do, walking on the water, that which is above nature, that which is above my power. And Jesus said, come. And as Peter got out of the boat and went toward Jesus, he began to walk on the water. Dear friends, and he would have continued to walk on that water in accordance with the Lord's command, if it had not been for one thing. He took his eyes off Jesus and saw the winds boisterous. It was dark, it was boisterous. Oh, he was relatively safe in the boat. But now he was even outside of the boat, of that of which they were struggling in. He got no defence from that boat. And he began to fear. And he began to sink. And dear friends, that sinking would have been quite quick. But he knew that this was Jesus who said, come. He knew that voice. Or had he not heard that voice before? Follow me. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And the Lord in his mercy put forth his hand, took him by the hand and restored Peter from the water and into the boat. And that statement to Peter, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Dear friends, Peter began to sink when he feared. And that was a fear and through lack of faith. What a link there is, isn't there, between fear and lack of faith. Where there is no faith, there is fear. Where there is faith, there is no fear. And so in throughout the scriptures, where the Lord says again and again to his people, fear not, because he knows they're afraid. He remembers that they're but dust. He's saying, have faith in God. Have faith in God. It is I. And be not afraid. Oh, dear friends, what a teaching there is here, isn't there, for us? In our earthly pathways. In our daily lives. Dear friends, if we're amongst those who believe in God, who believe in Christ, and I don't mean just a head knowledge of belief, I mean one where from your heart, you seek to walk in this earthly life in the fear of God, seek to obey his voice, all his will esteem, commit your way unto him, endeavouring to trust in him, and you know he and he alone is your only hope of eternal life, and you felt at times a sense of his pardoning love. You felt a sense that you have been drawn to him. You are being kept, from the powers of evil, even the evil of your own heart, through his mercies. Perhaps that's why you're in the house of God tonight. Because you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. And you seek to be a true follower of him. Then, dear friends, the Lord is leading you. The Lord is keeping you in the way that ye shall go. He is yet guiding you with his eye. And his ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. Our ways and our thoughts are governed by our earthly circumstances and our earthly minds and our earthly will. And we shall come to many an earthly conclusion, even in a religious sense. But where the Spirit of the Lord rules the heart, and you desire to be humble before him, and you commit your way to him, dear friends, his way will be his way, to keep you in the way that is everlasting. And there'll be things brought into your pathways which perhaps will be so mysterious to you. And there may be those ways where you'll feel to be alone. It's the way the Lord has led you to. Things have happened and you're constrained to walk in a particular path in this life, circumstances, with others. And things take place in your lives which you would not have of your own self. And there seems to be a darkness in it all. It seems as if the Lord even shuts out your prayer. You cannot perceive him with you. As if he's left you alone to struggle on in the best way you can. Leave you to your own intellect and to your own wisdom. And there seems to be no direct guidance. Well, dear friends, the Lord's disciples were like that, weren't they? Pass over to the other side. But go before me, go before me. Dear friends, the Lord does not leave his own people completely on their own forever. Or there may be, as we have in Isaiah 54, for a moment he left you. His divine purpose, yes, it may be some chastening purpose. The Lord is sovereign how he works. But he will gather you again unto himself. He won't leave you nor forsake you. Dear friends, there was a purpose here, wasn't there, for these disciples? As they struggled on alone. You might say, as Paul put it, pressing towards the mark. They were pressing towards the mark of Capernaum, where they'd come from earlier in that day, and now returning. Pressing towards the mark. But there was a purpose, dear friends, in it. We read in verse 33 that when they were in the ship, that's when the Lord Jesus came into the ship with Peter, and they came and worshipped him and said, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." First of all, the wind ceased. Jesus was present with them, no longer like a ghost, no longer like a spirit. And they came to know assuredly, if there'd been any doubt in their minds before, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And if whatever takes place in our lives, if you're a child of God, the conclusion of those matters will be a sweet confirmation that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Son of God came to save his people from their sins. And it's by these things we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, what mysterious things may come in our path. But, dear friends, remember this. It is I. It is I. Be not afraid. The disciples were in trouble, toiling in this rowing, struggling against the elements. It was dark. But, dear friends, remember Jesus, the Creator. He governs the elements. Jesus, the Creator, he commands the light and the darkness. All things are ever in his hand. He knows all things. He knows all things concerning you, and he knows all things concerning me. It is I. Be not afraid. And though you may be in the midst of this spiritual darkness, through the trial of your faith, struggling to continue in the way the Lord would have you to go, dear friends, the Lord is still there. He's still mindful of you. And something may suddenly appear. Something outside of the pathway you're immediately in. Something else, another trouble may come. Something which may happen. And it brings you into worse fear than the first one. You know, I've heard of many walking in difficulty of some troubles. And then there's a sudden great sickness or a bereavement in the family. And, we can bring into great fear, can't it? And you might have a particular exercise and seeking to way to walk in the way the Lord would have you go, and then something comes and it brings you into greater fear. But dear friends, if you're the Lord's, as I've tried to describe a little of that desire to be in the way the Lord would have you, and to bless your soul, and you to walk in his ways and so forth, to honour him in all you say and all you do, then, dear friends, that other thing what suddenly arises, it is the Lord. It is I. Be not afraid. There's a purpose in it. Oh, how we need faith, don't we? Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He that spared not his only begotten Son, but gave him up for us all, how much more shall he freely with him give us all things? And what are those all things? The supply of all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that we may glorify him more and more as we journey on through life. What did he say to his disciples, Jesus, later on? "Ye now have sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Well, they were in fear, weren't they? They were in sorrow and fear when Jesus was taken and crucified and laid in the tomb. They were in that upper room. And Jesus appeared. Oh, it said, I will see you again. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And the doors being shut, Jesus was present with them. What did he say? Be not afraid, it is I. Oh, dear friends, that brought joy and rejoicing, didn't it? They could hardly believe it. Grace brought them into the greater knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a preparation it was for the future days which were yet to come, where they could testify savingly and mightily of the power of the shed blood of Christ to cleanse from all sin. Oh, dear friends, these disciples were being prepared to be a true witness of the greatness of the Son of God. Dear friends, who can tell and why these things come in our lives, in your life, in my life? Our times are in his hand. All things are at his command, joys and sorrows. Oh, the changing scenes of life. But dear friends, be assured of this. It is not outside of the control of your God. His good hand of love and mercy is still there, although we cannot perceive it. It is I, be not afraid. Be not afraid, all these fear nots. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And I will lead thee forth by the right way, that thou shalt come to the city of habitation, to be where I am. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. And dear friends, it's through great tribulations we read that one enters into the kingdom of God. But are those tribulations, you're left completely alone, or we fear at times to be, don't we? But no. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. For what a promise the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples and gives to all his people. All those that believe on him through their word, all that are called by his grace. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have some examples in the scriptures of this, don't we? My mind goes to a dear Martha. Friend, she was cumbered about with much serving on that occasion. She complained that her sister Mary had left her to serve alone. And oh, she was industrious. She was positive. She was determined. And she's probably strong-willed. But the Lord loved her. As he loved Mary, who was much more soft and tender and responsive to the words of Jesus. They both loved the Lord, and the Lord loved them. And when their brother Lazarus died, well, when he was sick, let us begin with he was sick, they sent unto Jesus. He wasn't with them, and they were in trouble. Dear friends, they couldn't say they were not in the place which the Lord would have them be. The Lord had visited them. And he bestowed his love upon them. He whom thou lovest is sick, was their prayer. Oh, to come and heal him. They needed the Lord's appearing. But dear friends, the Lord did not come straight away, did he? He remained where he was for 2 days. Oh, what darkness came upon those two sisters when Lazarus died. Dear friends, not only was there the natural sorrow, but no doubt there was the fear. Who was to provide for them? Lazarus, no doubt, the breadwinner of the family. Dear friends, there's many fears, doesn't there? arise when we come into things which cause distress naturally in our hearts and of our minds. Jesus did come. Martha went out to see him. If thou hadst been here, my brother, our brother would not have died. Oh, but there was a word from the Lord for her. My brother shall rise again. But dear friends, it was such a mysterious word, she couldn't believe it. She doubted it. She said, I know he will arise again at the last day, the day of the resurrection. She believed many good things. And she said, I know that whatever thou ask of God, he will give it thee now. What faith she had. But dear friends, that faith could not extend to her brother rising again. Jesus is presence. I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, dear friends, what a limit. Her poor Martha couldn't see beyond that her brother Lazarus was dead. Oh, we read Jesus wept. He mourned with them. Oh, out of sorrow over their unbelief as well as their natural sorrow. Where hast thou laid him? Come and see. And you know, dear friends, when Jesus came to the tomb and said, roll away the stone, there was Martha again. Lord, he has been dead 4 days, but this time he stinketh. It isn't right to, this isn't right, this isn't a thing to be done. What did Jesus say to her? Sayest I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God, the power of God. Oh, the power of God to put that matter of her sorrow and her distress and her bereavement completely right. And it would be for the glory of God spiritually, not just for her and Mary, but for others. It was all for the glory of God, is what Jesus said to his disciples when he received the message. He that thou lovest is sick. Now, dear friends, is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? This God is our God. Believest thou this? Oh, in all these matters, these deep dispensations, it is I. Be not afraid. Have faith in God, who will work all things for you. Just one other case very briefly. Jairus. I love that case of Jairus. Coming to the Lord Jesus, putting his case. Oh, he had to wait for Jesus to come, didn't he? Oh, what darkness there was with his daughter sick unto death and no physician could heal her. He had to wait for Jesus to come. When he came, he put in his petition, the Lord said that he would come. But in that delayed time, because of the woman with the issue of blood and the crowd round about him, the news came, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Dear friends, in effect, Jesus said the same words of our text. Be not afraid. It is I, the Son of God, the one to whom I have said I will answer thy petition. Nothing is too hard for me. Only believe. Have faith in God. Well, dear friends, the just shall live by faith. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. Trusting in the Lord at all times. Casting all our care upon him. Rolling our burden upon the Lord. There's that lovely word, isn't there, in Isaiah? Chapter 50, verse 10, has been with me of late. Who is amongst you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant? Who is the Lord's servant, the evangelist Jesus Christ himself. Or we read in Isaiah, don't we? Isaiah 42, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I've put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And we look a bit further in Isaiah. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Dear friends, do you obey the voice of his servant? If you love him to keep his commandments, to walk in love as he has loved you. And you fear the Lord, don't you? The fear of the Lord is that if he should deal with you after your sins, you will be cast into hellfire. Oh, you're so dependent upon that grace, that mercy, his righteousness. Who is amongst you that feareth the Lord and that obeyeth the voice of his servant and walketh in darkness and hath no light? There are those seasons, dear friends, when, oh, we shall not perceive the Lord with us. It'll be a solemn sorrow, difficult, arduous, a pathway of our lives. But then there's the exhortation. Let him trust in the Lord his God and stay upon his God. Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Why, in that darkness, yes, it is I. Be not afraid. Oh, our darkness is not darkness to him. Oh, the light and the darkness, they are both alike to the Lord. He knows the way you take. Job said, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Many such things are with him. He mourned that he had the darkness and not been removed from him. But dear friends, we know the latter end of Job. They were better than his beginning. Spiritually and providentially. Oh, the pathway we walk, day by day, hour by hour. Oh, Lord, increase my faith, knowing that thou shalt work all yet all things together for good. May I be able to hear thy voice, mysterious though these things are. It is I. Be not afraid.